Good morning, everyone. Welcome and happy Easter. So glad that you're joining us here today, and we're going to begin our worship this morning with our favorite hymns, and we have one selected by numerous folks today. They all want to hear and sing number 302. 302, Christ the Lord is risen today. And we'll do verses, how about 1 and 2? Verses 1 and 2 from 302. One to start the morning with, and we have another one. Go ahead, Gary.
Let's do 310.
Okay, 310, and then I did hear 600 back yonder, so we'll do that one next. Did I hear that right? 600? We'll do that one second. 310, He Lives, verses 1 and 3. 1 and 3. Requested, I think. Wonderful Words of Life. How about verses 1 and 3? Number 600. And we have time for one more. Do I have a request? I heard 327. Crown him with many crowns, 327. And can we do verses 1 and 4? 1 and 4 of 327. It's a beautiful one to complete our hymn sing with, and we're happy to begin our service now.
Thank you. you, Colleen. Happy Easter and good morning to everyone. Christ is risen. Thank you. I'd like to welcome everyone to the United Methodist Church, the House of Faith. I'd like to especially welcome our members and visitors that are here today, and those of you that are joining us on Zoom. So I'll start out with a few announcements. There will be an Easter egg hunt out in the breezeway at 11 o'clock after worship for the children in the courtyard, and there's also will be fellowship time in the fellowship hall across the breezeway, so please join us. Also like to mention our happy birthdays to those of us that have birthdays in April. You can see the names on the list there. And then a note that beginning April 16th at 11 a.m., we'll have a Bible study called The Chosen. Please attend. And for that first session that we have for The Chosen, there'll be a free soup and bread lunch. So please join us for that. I'm sure it'll be delicious. And that'll be, again, Sunday, April 16th at 11 a.m. in Curtis Hall. And next, our free Saturday movies. The next one will be May 6th at 11 a.m. It is the movie 80 for Brady. I guess this is a movie about Tom Brady and some of his followers. So please join us. Are there any other announcements? Okay. Please stand as you're able and join me in the call to worship. Do not look for the living among the dead.
Christ the Lord is risen, risen indeed. Alleluia.
Death has been swallowed up in victory.
Christ the Lord is risen, risen indeed. Alleluia.
Our opening hymn is number 322, Up from the Grave He Arose.
My Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, in the mighty triumph of his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints. From the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Death cannot keep his prey, Jesus, my Savior. Bars away, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with the mighty triumph of his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, Christ arose.
It is now time for the passing of the peace. Please greet your neighbor.
I also like to recognize Lois, June, and Joyce, Bill, and April. And we have one joining us on iPad and on telephone. Welcome all.
It is now time for the sharing of our joys and concerns. If you have a joy or concern to share with us, please raise your hand and Deb will bring you the mic.
Maybe the battery?
Nope.
Here we go.
The magic stuff.
Good morning, I'm Susan, and my joy today is it's Easter, and more so because my sister Jill is here visiting from the state of Washington. It's always a joy to have her participate in our flowering the cross. So joy, joy, joy.
Jill comes down to do the flowering of the cross every year. Isn't that wonderful? Thanks so much.
Good morning. My name is Dina, and the beginning of my week was a phenomenon that I had never heard about before, and I was so blessed by it, I decided I was going to share it this morning, and then I had a tragedy at the end of the week, so I'll share both. Three times during a century, Muslims with Ramadan, Jews with Passover, and Christians with Easter all merge in Jerusalem the same week. And they were there this week, all worshiping, no fighting, no mass shootings, just love and serving God. And I was just overwhelmed by that. And because I all those faced together in the same place, was just thought it was amazing. And then at the end of the week, good friends of ours lost their brother, Tim Stark, in Riverside. And he was the police officer, if you've seen any things about his mother, Judy, is doing okay but struggling, and Sister Allie is struggling as well, but they're going through the motions. But the police department and the fire department are doing most of the arrangements for the service, and so they're kind of bystanders, and so they're just really struggling. So if you'd pray for them, thank you. All wonderful Christian people. Thank you.
Debbie Wilson here. My son-in-law is hopefully graduating from his last fire academy with Cal Fire up in Ione. There'll be about 100 gentlemen and ladies that will be finishing up their engineer school and whatever else they're doing. So it's been a struggle with the weather and being gone for 14 weeks. So my daughter is very happy he's coming home. But blessings for all of those young men and young women that are finishing up this phase of their career.
Hi, I'm Judy Salveson, and I've asked for prayers for Lance Alfred, and he is doing quite well as far as the chemo and getting rid of his cancer, except this last weekend, he started coughing up blood, and so they were really, really worried about this and ran him to the emergency room, and as it turns out, he has a giant blood clot in his lungs, which apparently is common with chemo with lung cancer, so continued prayers for him. They were afraid that maybe the cancer's, after saying it was gone, had come back, but it's still gone, so that's good. So continued prayers. Thank you.
We have Dahlin today. So glad to see you.
I have a joy. My son Danny and his family are here visiting from North Carolina, and my daughter Jean from Bend, Oregon, and her family are here visiting, and there may be others that I don't know about. My birthday's tomorrow.
Yes! Happy birthday! Happy birthday.
And I have a joy that Katie has an art piece that was selected for a youth exhibit at the YPAC, the Performing Arts Center. So if you want to see it, it's on exhibit all the month of April. And it's right there in their front gallery.
All right. Good job, Katie.
And I'm glad Anthony is here today. Anybody else in the back? It's at the Performing Arts Center right there on the corner where the fountain is.
Did you want David?
Yes. Just a minor thing. I have a great joy and a minor concern. I could use some prayer on Wednesday. As I had told you previously, my daughter and her family moved back from Colorado and bought a house in Temecula. And so my daughter, her husband, and the grandkids are only about 35 minutes away from Grandpa, which is a wonderful thing. My mom, who is great-grandma to the grandkids of mine, she has been wanting and hinting about going to see their big house, their new big house that they bought in Temecula. I am going to endeavor to take her out of her assisted living facility on Wednesday and transport her to Temecula, and so she can see the house and be with the grandkids and the family for dinner down there in Temecula. And it's going to be a little bit of a risky endeavor for me. I would appreciate your prayers in that regard on Wednesday. Thank you.
Thank you. And again, Helen is moving up to Chico, where her daughter Suzy lives, and so we're going to lose her. So I'd like to get us together for a farewell party, if you could. I haven't had a chance to ask you, but I think I'm going to have to designate the time and date. So I'm thinking of like Thursday. Should we do Tuesday? Maybe earlier the better. Tuesday at 2 here in the Camellia Room or the Fellowship Hall. We will have a little tea and cake. So we'll have a little gathering and give her our warm farewell. So if you have time, please join me on Tuesday now. Tuesday, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. In the fellowship hall, okay? And then if you could, I mean, if you probably won't be able to make it, you can drop the card at the church and or a little present, and then I'll deliver them to her, okay?
I have a joy that we're all able to come here and celebrate God together on this beautiful Easter day.
Amen to that. Thanks,
Amen.
Destiny.
Yes.
Anyone on Zoom, please raise your hand.
So we want to continue our prayers for Helen. And Susie and Helen are flying instead of driving. So on the 19th, when we have the luncheon together. So that's why we want to meet separately. For the farewell. So pray for the safe journey and continue prayers for Bill and April as well.
Thank you, Pastor. Please join me now in the unison prayer. O Lord, your wondrous birth means nothing unless we are born again. Your death and sacrifice mean nothing unless we die to sin. Your resurrection means nothing
if you be risen alone. Rise and exalt us, O Savior, both now to the estate of grace and hereafter to the state of glory, where with the Father and the Holy Spirit you live and reign, God forever and ever.
Amen.
Let us continue our prayers in silence, remembering all the prayer requests that has brought up before us, and remember all our loved ones and those in need, the people that God has placed in our life. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, we are so happy to celebrate this day that we remember you rose from the dead, that you are the living God, that you are with us now and forever. You overcome the power of sin and death and has given us the victory. So Lord, we have so much to celebrate in our life because of your presence, because of you in our life, O Lord. We can meet any challenges in life. We can overcome any difficulties, and we can move on in spite of all the obstacles that are placed before us, because we believe in the victory in the end, and we believe in the ultimate victory when we leave this earth. So Lord, bless each and every one of us this morning with the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may receive this full assurance of your power, of our salvation, of the promise of victory in this life. We have fought at best, but oh Lord, there have been a lot of moments we've been discouraged and we've been doubtful. But over and over again, you have proven unto us, oh Lord, that you are there. We may not see you, O Lord, but we can feel you, we can touch you, we can speak to you, and we can hear your voice. We can feel the warmth of your arms surrounding our lives. There are many signs of your presence, O Lord. May we hold on to you no matter what, that we may continue to fight in this lifelong battle and be victorious. So Lord, we thank you as we celebrate this Easter today, and we know that our celebration of life will continue. So we ask you to empower us once more and give us this assurance, O Lord, that you are the risen Christ. As we acknowledge that you are in our life, that you are our sovereign God who has the full control over our life's affairs, we yield to you, we submit to you, O Lord, and commit ourselves to continue to carry out your will and glorify you in all we do. So now, as a community of faith, we now join together praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Is now time for the Mnemonic Harp moment?
Today's story is Jesus is Risen, a pop-up book by Agostino Irani. It had been 3 days since Jesus died on a cross, and his friends were sad. They missed him. That morning, two women brought spices to the place where Jesus was buried, but the stone in front of the tomb was rolled away. Inside, a man dressed in dazzling white clothes greeted them. Where was Jesus? Do not be afraid, the angel said. You are looking for Jesus, but he has risen and is no longer here. The angel pointed to the place where Jesus had been laid. Look for yourselves, the angel said. Now go and tell the other disciples. The women were amazed by what the angel had told them. They ran as fast as they could to find the disciples. Suddenly a man appeared. It was Jesus. Greetings, my friends, he said. Teacher, the women were amazed. Jesus was alive, standing in front of them. The disciples were hiding inside a locked room, scared and uncertain. Jesus appeared among them and said, Peace be with you. At first, the disciples thought they were seeing a ghost, but Jesus assured them it was him. Come, touch my hands, hear my voice, see that this is your friend. Jesus appeared again as Peter and some of the disciples were out fishing. At first, they didn't recognize him, but as the other disciples were pulling up the heavy net full of fish, Peter realized it was Jesus and he jumped into the water. Once they were on the shore, they all had breakfast together. Fish, of course. Jesus took the disciples to a mountaintop. He told them, Go and tell this story to everyone you meet. Baptize them, teach them, and remember, I am always with you. Then Jesus rose up into the air and ascended to heaven. A few days later, the disciples were all together. Suddenly, there came a rushing, mighty wind. It filled the entire house. Little tongues of fire appeared over each person's head, and all the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. They began speaking in different languages, languages they'd never spoken before, all of them talking about God together. Now they were ready to go to the whole world and tell them the good news about Jesus. May we all be filled with the joy of Jesus' resurrection and his Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Deb. Our next hymn is number 314, In the Garden.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses us. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his son, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever. Sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing, and he walks and he talks with me, tells me I am his son, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever. an air around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of home. His voice to me is calling. Then he walks with me and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his son, and the joy we share as we carry there, none other has
ever. Our scripture reading today is from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 10, the resurrection of Jesus. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. So good to see you all, and happy Easter, and I pray that through the worshiping this morning, you will have a visit from the Holy Spirit and receive the assurance of God's presence in your life personally, and be joyous. Protecting the federal law, the Union, and abolishing slavery were primary objectives for Abraham Lincoln. But he had faced many other challenging issues, such as expansion to the West and American Indians. To build the railroad to the West, the Union took over a vast land of Indians. Lincoln needed an Indian commissioner who could build a good relationship between the Union and the Indians. So he called in Ben Wade and Senator Daniel Voorhees to discuss the appointment of an Indian commissioner. Explaining what kind of man he wanted to appoint, "Gentlemen, for an Indian commissioner," said the president, "I want a pure-minded, moral, Christian man, frugal, and self-sacrificing. I think," interrupted Voorhees, "that you won't find him." "Why not?" "Because, Mr. President," said the senator, "he was crucified about 1,800 years ago." He should have mentioned that he also rose from the dead.
The crucifixion of Jesus was executed in a public display that Roman officials, Jewish religious leaders, and the crowd eyewitnessed the event. Many followers stayed until his last breath next to the cross. What the Roman historian Tacitus wrote was one of the earliest records of the crucifixion outside the biblical resource. Tacitus reported on Nero's accusation of Christians of the fire that destroyed Rome in 64 AD as follows. Nero fastened the guilt on a class hated for their abominations, called Christians by the populace. Christus, from whom the name had its origin, suffered the extreme penalty during the reign of Tiberius at the hand of Pontius Pilatus. All met the description, the historical descriptions. There are no written recordings available for the resurrection other than the biblical recordings. But think about the following. Hundreds of people met the risen Christ after Easter morning until Jesus was taken up to heaven. And the entire New Testament was written by eyewitnesses, not only of the crucifixion, but of the resurrection. Their reports on the crucifixion and the resurrection demonstrated genuine integrity, thereby satisfied a critical element of reporting actual events. Most of the New Testament, if not all, were circulated during the time when the eyewitnesses were still alive and active, and thereby were verified by the early churches and the believers. So could they lie? They couldn't. Beyond the eyewitnesses and historical writings, are there any physical pieces of evidence of the crucifixion and resurrection that are available today? The hints on the evidence are given in the gospel lesson this morning. Do you see what they are? Mary Magdalene had been to the tomb earlier. Hearing the report from her, John and Peter ran to the tomb. We do not know their age, but John seemed a bit younger and stronger, so he ran faster than Peter could. John arrived at the tomb first. He did not go in, but bent over and saw the empty tomb with the strips of linen. Peter arrived later and went straight into the tomb. Peter saw the strip of linen and the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. A lot of critics downplay the recordings of the gospel and the Bible in general. But the Bible demonstrates the accuracy of recordings, and this passage is one of the examples. Look at the difference in action between John and Peter. John bent over and did not go in, for he was a contemplator and would not jump to take action. On the other hand, Peter ran straight into the tomb, which shows that he would do and say things without a second thought. And we have a couple of incidents because of this haste personality of Peter that we can find in the gospel. Now, who could see inside the tomb better? John outside or Peter inside the tomb? Peter, of course. John glanced the strips of linen lying there, but Peter saw in detail the strips of linen and the cloth that wrapped around Jesus' head and their locations. Two pieces of burial cloth agree with the tradition of Jews during the time of Jesus. The distinct actions of the disciples correspond to their characters. The two different actions correspond to two different observations. Therefore, we can conclude that the description of their actions and findings was accurate. So, what piece of evidence do we have today? The number one is the empty tomb in the old city of Jerusalem. The second one is the long linen that covered the body of Jesus. The third one is the head covering. Repeated descriptions of the linen and the cloth may indicate that the early Christians had treasured them. So what has happened to them? The linen that covered the body of Jesus is believed to be housed in the Cathedral of St. John the Baptist in Turin, Italy. It is called the Shroud of Turin, you have heard of. There are many skeptics about its authenticity, but the findings are so staggering and worthy of note. The linen was in tight contact with the corpse and had imprints of a dead man and his scars like photographic negatives. Gospels describe that Jesus was scourged, struck in the face, crowned with thorns, and carried the cross. He was crucified by nailing his hands and feet, his side was pierced, and his legs were not broken. The shroud shows so many flogging patterns with the typical Roman whip. Bloodstains and imprints on the shroud show a trace of a crown of thorns on his head. The person was slapped and beaten on his face. His legs were not broken. His hands and feet were nailed. His sides were pierced. Forearm blood flow is consistent with arms held up and out. Thumbs are flexed out of view due to likely nerve damage at the wrist. The blood came out of his side after his death. Sign of heavy object rubbing on his shoulder after scourging was supposedly the mark from carrying the heavy wooden planks on his shoulders. The body shows sign of horrible death. The fabric material, its weaving pattern, the physical dimension, the size strip stitch, and pollen found on it belong to the first century. At the bottom of the shroud, the researchers found dust of limestone that is native to Jerusalem. 58 different kinds of pollen were found on the shroud, and 55 of them belong to the Jerusalem area. Only 3 belong to the area where the shroud was once kept. One particular pollen points to a plant called the Zygohilum dumosum, which was used for the crown of thorns. This plant blooms between March and May in Israel, corresponding to the time of the crucifixion. A renowned photographer, Barry Short from Santa Barbara, examined it and concluded that the pattern on the shroud was not a painting. Though he is an Orthodox Jew, he said, after 20 years of investigation, it was a shock to me to discover that the piece of cloth was the authentic cloth that had been wrapped the body of Jesus. Now, the only question left is the carbon dating, which is a scientific method to decide the age. Pieces of fabric were sent to labs, and the test result showed that the fabric was from 1250 and 1350 AD. This is why most skeptics argue that the shroud was a fabrication. But Raymond N. Rogers from Los Alamos National Laboratory examined the radiocarbon sample from the Shroud of Turin and concluded that the sample was not part of the original cloth of the Shroud of Turin and invalidated the carbon dating done to it. Why the sample was not a part of the original cloth? A record shows that the churches showed it to the pilgrims once a week. You can imagine that priests were holding the shroud on the corners. And because of the frequent usage and its age, the corners were torn out and worn out and later repaired. It was why the sample from a corner was tested to be from 1250 to 1350. The third physical evidence is the cloth that once covered the head of Jesus. It is stored in the Cathedral of San Salvador, Oviedo, Spain. It is called the Sudarium of Oviedo. Sudarium in Latin means sweat cloth. The finding in this cloth are very remarkable as well. It shows the blood type AB, as same as the one found in the Shroud of Turin, the blood stain, facial geometry, the length of the nose, and the origin of the blood overlap perfectly with those patterns on the Shroud of Turin. 16 types of balloons were found in the cloth, and 9 of them were from plants that grow in Palestine. Researchers concluded that the Sudarium of Oviedo and the Shroud of Turin were used for the same person. Isn't that amazing? I mean, I have seen many of the YouTube channels and read so many articles to come up with this, but it's absolutely fascinating what they have found behind. And then, you know, my personal opinion, I had a little bit of chemical background, and I used to be a chemical analyst before I came to the United States. I know that the X-rays can alter the carbon dating. No, seriously, it happens, okay? A lot of fabricators, they sell the, you know, they falsify the something that to be the as a really old, they shoot the X-ray into the object, and then it would become very, very old, or something like that. If you remember in the gospel when on the morning of the Easter there was an earthquake, right? And then when there was an earthquake, there would have been a lot of X-rays flying everywhere in the tomb. And another that may have altered the dating. And another thing is, they say that when these all imprints were created, there was an ultraviolet light illuminating from within, not from outside, from within, from the body itself, right? That's why all these imprints were created. And I believe that, you know, Jesus is a light. The light emanating from his body would have altered the age of the cloth. Regardless, we have these pieces of evidence of the crucifixion and resurrection available to us today. But the best evidence is our personal encounter with the risen Christ. Think of the Apostle Paul. He was about the same age or a little younger than Jesus was, which means that he would have heard of Jesus from his young age. When he was persecuting Christians, a lot of eyewitnesses of Jesus were still around. Stephen was one of them. Paul was there when Stephen was being stoned and martyred. But hearing about Jesus did not give him the faith until he met the risen Christ personally on the road to Damascus. People can visit the empty tomb in Jerusalem. They can go to see the Shroud of Turin in Italy and Sudarium of Oviedo in Spain. But they still may not believe in the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. It is a personal encounter with the risen Christ that can take away all our doubts and skepticism. The risen Christ may be invisible, but by faith we see and meet him. Clouds of witnesses surround us. The evidence of God's presence is everywhere. But the evidence that convinces us more than anything is our personal encounter with the risen Christ in our hearts and in our lives. Amen.
It is now time for the sharing of our tithes and offerings. There's a plate at the back of the sanctuary as you exit the sanctuary, so please donate.
When Jesus Christ whose power of lift. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia.
Lord Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of our sins you have given unto us, we thank you. For the salvation that you have granted us, we thank you. For the promise of eternal life, we thank you. You have come into our lives and have filled our lives with your living presence. And with this offering, O Lord, we acknowledge that you are our Savior, that you are our living God. We bless you and ask your blessing upon each of us, that we may go and bless your people as we serve your church and your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our closing hymn is number 310, He Lives.
Lord,
Lord, you have given us many evidence in our life. We are so blessed by your presence in everything we do. So, Lord, may we hold on to your living presence in times of troubles and difficulties, that we may overcome them all and bring glory unto your name. As we leave this place of worship, O Lord, we ask you to bless each and every one of us, empower us with this faith in the living Christ in our lives, that we may be your witnesses of the resurrection in the world today. Send us forth, therefore, in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.